Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the hotline now, and we welcome in one of the very best when it comes to odds making. Find him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. He knows the game very, very well, and with the Supreme Court making an historic decision over this last week, he's a former odds maker at Caesars Palace in Vegas, also founder of the Bet the Board podcast, to explain all this and where we might be by 2020 when it comes to legalized sports gambling. Todd Furman joins us on the show. Hello, Todd.
I have to imagine there were a few parlay cards trading hands in that fateful parking lot way back in Canton, Ohio as well.
Oh,
with a few
brother.
Various figures that may have wanted some of those league bowlers to get a little skin in the game as it pertained to NFL and college football as well.
Well, good God, could you imagine if they didn't pay? The dead rats in the ashtray? My God, was that a signal to somebody? I'm not sure. True story, by the way. All right, Todd, you got to make sense of this because there's things that I know and things that I'm a little blurry of. But let me ask you to look into your crystal ball here. The Supreme Court makes this decision. The feds can't say to the states that you can't do legalized sports gaming here. So what are we talking about when it comes to the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA? How do we cover the big three when it comes to legalized sports gambling just in our regular nomenclature by the time 2020 comes around?
Well, the leagues are going to do everything they can to get what they feel is their rightful piece of the pie. Now, Major League Baseball and the NBA, they've proposed an integrity tax that originally started as high as 1%, saying for every dollar wagered, they wanted, 1% coming into their coffers. Well, if you break down the math on that, 1% doesn't feel like a lot at the top, but if you consider that the casino operators only get 5% of every dollar wagered, 1% of that would be astronomical, and you're talking about 20% of the win going away. And while it's a lot of math to try and process, it just goes to show that the leagues feel entitled to trying to protect the integrity of the game, and we're going to hear that term thrown about quite a bit over the next 6, 12, 18 months to 2 years, because they want to try and prey on people's fear, thinking that somehow legalized sports betting, whether it's in New Jersey, Delaware, Mississippi, or states to be named later, is going to impact the on-field product, which, as we know, should be ridiculous and should be one of those myths that's busted as soon as possible.
How does the leagues getting a piece of the action prevent guys being on the take? I don't understand that connection that the leagues are making.
That makes two of us. They claim that they're going to use this so-called integrity fee that's been proposed to try and police the leagues, whether it's paying for data providers to show any irregularities in betting patterns, or Lord only knows what the leagues feel that's going to do. But anyone who reads the fine print quickly realizes that that's basically the league's way of saying, we want to collect a royalty, but by posing it as an integrity tax, we can keep that away from the players' associations. But as we know, the players' associations have some smart people working for them as well. They're going, no, 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 this is not how it's going to take place. And I think ultimately you're going to see states come online before this football season. New Jersey poised to be the next state outside of Nevada. And they're going to go, we don't care what the leagues say. We're going to take wagers on sports, and we're going to handle things the same way Nevada has for years and years.
Todd Furman joining us on the show, former odds maker at Caesars, founder of the Bet on the Board podcast. You know, okay, I'm coming because I'm trying to get this thing figured out as time goes on. West Virginia has already basically said to hell with you when it comes to an integrity tax. At least they're not going to vote on it just yet. So an integrity tax by the league, you're saying 20% of the win. What do I get back? Say I vote yes on this. What do I usually get as a taxpayer? Can I use the state of Nevada as an example here?
Well, that's where things are going to get even more interesting, because when you look at the gaming taxes that sports books and casino operators pay in Nevada, it's about 7%. To put that in better perspective, Pennsylvania right now is between 35 to 40%. So that traditional risk $11 to win 10, the math doesn't quite pencil if these states want to get too greedy and take too large a slice of the pie when sports gambling is legalized. And that's part of the reason that New Jersey is at the forefront. Mississippi has always been favorable as far as their tax structure towards gaming operators. And the last thing I think any of us want to see, regardless of what state we call home, is a product that's not nearly as competitive being offered in the legal market as what we've grown accustomed to with the offshore books and some of the illegal bookmakers that all of us have had credit lines with since we were able to walk.
What's this do to those illegal bookmakers?
I think the illegal bookmakers would love a 30 to 40% tax rate in most states so they can gobble up more business as people try and figure out how they're going to get their skin in the game. But at the same time, I don't think it changes a whole lot of what they're doing unless there's a new emphasis in terms of law enforcement and you take some of the slaps on the wrist from misdemeanors to potential felonies. But Ken, as we know in this country, we all love to buy things now and pay later. Sports bettors are no different, and they're not going to get credit lines extended by betting over the counter in a sports book or on a mobile app the same way they can with their corner bookie.
A lot of guys like to say the juice is running. They don't even know what it means. It's just a fun thing to say about things, but you actually live in a world where the juice continues to run. Todd Furman joining us on the show. So could I use this, and maybe this is a basis for something I'd like to talk about later on. Could I use this, say I'm a state that has multiple football teams in my state or multiple baseball teams, basketball teams, many professional sports teams. Can I use this, say no to your integrity tax, and use this to help me defray the cost when you come looking for me for money, looking to me for money for your sports stadium that you're going to reap the benefit on?
Well, I think that's one of the things that if you're in the general public, you're going, wait a second, so I've already had to fund some of these, you know, colossal buildings and quote-unquote joint-purpose facilities here, and now you're going to take another piece from some of the recreation that I want to try and engage in that should go to better programs, social programs for the state, whether it's education, whether it's welfare, you name it at the state level. It's a little bit mind-boggling. So I'm very curious to see how some of the states with some of the more prominent sports franchises, New Jersey probably one of the big ones with the Jets and Giants both calling it home. I'm not going to call the Nets or the Devils and say they're going to have a whole lot of clout in some of these discussions. But New Jersey, them moving forward saying, you know, we're going to book all the action we can on the NFL and the professional sports. The only teams that they've talked about keeping off the board would be some of the collegiate programs. So we know Rutgers football clearly moves the needle every Saturday in the fall. Unfortunately, you won't be able to bet that in Seton Hall hoops along with it. But at the same time, I think if New Jersey says the hell with it, we're going to go forward, every other state could kind of follow suit. And unless they're worried about some of the political power that may ultimately come down in their heads, there's no reason to go, wait, I have to go into my pockets and I have to pay the leagues for them doing absolutely nothing to protect my product.
Is there a way we could do this? Todd Furman joining us on the show, former odds maker, Caesars, founder of the Bet the Board podcast. Is there a way that we could work together in the NCAA, or is this just a non-starter?
You know what, I'd like to see the NCAA be a little bit more proactive and try and work and understand, because right now they're working under the assumption where they're saying, you know what, if you're going to take bets on our games, somehow that the integrity of our sport is going to be compromised more so than the pro level. And when you look back at some of the point-shaving scandals we've seen, let's call it the last 25 years, you have seen instances where college players are a little bit more susceptible, but that's money changing hands in back alleys. It wasn't taking place in regulated, legalized sportsbooks in Nevada, whether we use the Brian Johnson example at San Diego or the situation at Toledo with Scooter McDougal, among others. The biggest point-shaving scandal that college basketball has been plagued by actually had the whistle blown by the sportsbooks in Nevada when you had a processional of student undergrads and grad students alike at Arizona State thinking it was found money once they got wind that Benny Sillman had his hand in the Arizona State basketball program. So I think that's one thing the NCAA has to understand, that point shaving is always going to be going on in the background, but if you have a regulated and legalized market, the unusual flow of money and irregular line moves are only going to tip the authorities and the governing bodies off that much faster.
See, I saw the made-for-TV movie about that, so I understand what you're talking about there. Todd Furman joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Now, again, like by 2020, could we be talking about sports? And I think it would probably be a good idea just for programming. So say if we're doing sports reports or something like that, it's no longer Green Bay at Minnesota. It's Green Bay on the road, laying 3 on the road. Is it kind of like that? Or are we just talking about it in regular nomenclature there?
I really think that that's the path we're headed down. That when you look at sports programming in its current construct, gambling is going to be interwoven into every broadcast, whether it's CBS before kickoffs at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday when we're talking about the SEC game of the week. Gambling is going to provide another lens through which the casual fan or sports betting enthusiast is able to try and digest their sports. When you look at it, and no knock on some of the former players, I don't need to watch a pregame show for you to tell me that the New England Patriots as 2 touchdown favorites are going to knock off the Cleveland Browns. That doesn't tell me a whole heck of a lot. If you're going to make a case for why Cleveland is a live underdog catching 2 touchdowns and and the potential for a particular matchup, then you have my attention, and I may be much more likely to stay tuned into the game from start to finish. And I think the leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, you name it, they're only going to see their viewership numbers increase, and once they find a way to monetize it, they're going to wonder how they ever operated in a world where sports gambling wasn't legalized coast to coast.
What is the reason why a state wouldn't get down with this?
I think you have the old school thought process and some of the very conservative constituencies out there. I'd have to imagine that if we're talking about all 50 states, Utah probably wouldn't even consider legalizing sports betting until about the year 2085, maybe at the earliest. And when you look at some of the states down south, if they feel that some of the religious folks believe that gambling is a pariah and they don't want to try and include it, those are the main deterrents. But I think ultimately you're going to see the more progressive states, those looking to try and get a bump in tax revenue, be first to market with this. And it's going to start in the Northeast. I think you'll see California come around. And while I don't know exactly what the timeline will look like for a lot of these states, I really believe if we're having this discussion 2 years from now, we're talking about maybe as many as 25 to 30 states having sports gambling in some form.
Wow, Todd Furman joining us on the show, telling us about this. Now, is there a chance that we could extend the NFL season because of it?
I think there's a good chance that could happen. If we're looking at a 16-game schedule becoming 18 games, if they feel there's additional dollars to be made from a sports gambling standpoint, I'm as curious as anyone to see what this does to impact the injury report that we've known has existed forever to try and protect gamblers prying for information that wasn't readily made available. I also think, you know, the unintended consequence, those so-called meaningless preseason games that take place throughout the month of August, you may start to see more substantial viewership numbers there than what we've ever seen in the past.
Oh my, is there anything else that you want to get out there that we haven't covered yet? Because this is all really interesting stuff you're telling me here, Todd. I want to make sure.
I think the consumer just has to be conscious of what's going on. They don't want to try and turn this into a state-run sports lottery, a system where they can't beat it or even get a competitive product brought to market. So they should be looking for a few things. Mainly that $1.10 juice, put up $11 to win 10 that we've all grown accustomed to. And don't let them be bamboozled by the fear that the leagues are trying to throw out there, talking about how somehow legalized gambling is all of a sudden going to make the entire sporting landscape ripe for match fixing. We've seen it at the highest levels of European domestic soccer and some of the biggest competitions. If you partner up with the sports books, the leagues and sports books work together to protect the sporting event. And I think this only adds and raises the stakes to what we've already seen for the sports that we're most passionate about here.
Well, I got like 60 seconds. Doesn't that just become an issue of basically licensing there where, hey, you're making money off my product. We want to make money. We want to make sure we wet our beak on this.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And the leagues are never going to run their own sports books or anything along those lines, but the opportunities will exist, especially if you use the Raiders as the perfect example, for them to partner up with an MGM or Caesars and go the official sports book partner of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think we're going to see that in more states than just here when you know how close a lot of these NFL stadiums are to some of the local casinos coast to coast.
Todd Furman on Twitter, Todd Furman on the show. We thank you so much for the time, my friend. All the very best.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you. Todd Furman, again, check him out. Former odds maker at Caesars Palace, founder of the Bet the Board podcast. Find him on Twitter at Todd Furman.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.